specific track is entitled "Are You an Anarchist?"
It's all of these. I tell you about these events because all of these events are having an impact on the thinking of the anarchist community and the foreign-born anarchists like Sacco and Vanzetti. And it explains, and this is how they explained it, it seems reasonable, that's why they were carrying guns. All of them, or anybody in that community who's expecting to be raided or to be apprehended, to be seized by the police, to be interrogated, to be deported, and so on, they were carrying guns. Was that the explanation for them carrying guns? I don't know. I don't know, I'll tell you right now. I don't know if Sacco and Vanzetti were guilty of this robbery and murder. And the truth is, that's not the issue that interests me the most. Because whether they were guilty or were innocent, there are larger questions involved, and the questions have to do with justice, the nature of justice, and the way justice is meted out in our society, and the fact that justice really doesn't have a lot to do with whether people are innocent or guilty of a particular crime, and has a lot more to do with who people are, what they represent, what they do in their lives, and what threats they pose, not to this individual or that individual, but what threats they pose to the existing societal structure. And it was assumed that the anarchists posed a threat to the existing social structure in the United States. And when they were picked up, police interrogation, the record of police interrogation, does not suggest that the police were most concerned about whether they had committed the robbery and murder. Here are the questions from the police interrogation. Police to Sacco: "Are you a citizen?" Sacco: "No." Police: "Are you a communist?" Sacco: "No." Anarchist? Sacco: "No, he's lying." Now, why somebody should lie to the police is beyond me. But he chose to lie to the police. But the point is, that what were they interested in? They're interested in whether he was a communist or an anarchist, and what bearing does this have on whether he was guilty of this robbery and murder? The whole case was suffused by patriotism and appeals to the flag, and that was the atmosphere, you know, in which it took place. At the very beginning of the trial, the judge, Judge Webster Thayer, said to the jury, "Gentlemen," no ladies on the jury, "gentlemen, I call upon you to render this service here that you have been summoned to perform with the same spirit of patriotism, courage, and devotion to duty as was exhibited by our soldier boys across the seas." Strange kind of charge to the jury, putting them in the same position as soldiers doing their patriotic duty, especially in light of the fact that Sacco and Vanzetti had left this country, had gone to Mexico to avoid the draft. They were draft dodgers. They had not fulfilled their patriotic duty. Now the jury was going to fulfill its patriotic duty. More of the police interrogation. Police to Sacco: "Do you believe in this government of ours?" "Yes. Some things I like different." That's a very diplomatic answer. He really likes things very different. But he's being... "Sure. Do you subscribe for literature of the Anarchist Party?" "Sometimes I read them." "How do you get them? Through the mail?" "A man gave one to me in Boston." "Who was the man?" "I don't know him." Again, were they looking for robbers? Were they looking for people who subscribe to anarchist magazines, and et cetera, you know, et cetera? The trial, incidentally, began immediately after Memorial Day. And this is about a year and a half after that sort of orgy of death and stupidity that was World War I. and the military music was still in the air when the trial took place. In fact, 12 days into the trial, the press reported that the bodies of three soldiers were returning from France, three American soldiers from France to Brockton, and the whole town was turning out for a patriotic ceremony. All of this the jury could read in the newspapers, because they could read the newspapers. The only thing they couldn't read were the reports on the trial that were cut out. And in the midst of the trial, the papers reported a gathering of 5,000 veterans of the Yankee Division in Plymouth. In the trial itself, in the cross-examination of Sacco, and here's Prosecutor Katzman. Katzman to Sacco, "Did you love this country in the last week of May 1917? I guess we could go through day by day and see on what days you loved the country, on what days you didn't love the country. Sacco, that is pretty hard for me to say in one word, Mr. Katzman." By the way, Sacco's English was much better than Vanzetti's. Vanzetti had a much harder time with the English language, although, well, that's, you'll see that after he spent a number of years in prison and after he reads, his eloquence in the English language is absolutely extraordinary. So he says, "That is pretty hard for me to say in one word, Mr. Katzman. There are two words you can use, Mr. Sacco. Yes or no? Which is it?" Sacco, "Yes." He did love this country in the last week of May, 1917. Well, again, not really. No, he doesn't really. But Katzman, "And in order to show your love for this United States of America, which he was about to call upon you to become a soldier, you ran away to Mexico." Yeah. This is the atmosphere of the trial. It's a very Anglo-Saxon jury. It's a very Anglo-Saxon judge. The two defendants are Italian anarchists, recently come to this country speaking with Italian accents. And that the ethnic divisions in this trial are very, very, very clear. By the way, Webster Thayer, the judge, has specifically asked the Chief Justice to handle this trial. He wanted this trial. You get strange things happen in the course of the trial. There are many witnesses who place Sacco and Vanzetti in places other than the scene of the crime. There are a whole bunch of witnesses who say that they saw at one point or another, at just about that time, they saw Sacco in Boston. And Sacco says that he was in Boston at that time trying to get a passport, he was in the office of the Italian consul. So there are all these people testifying that they saw Sacco in Boston. But all these people have Italian accents. There are a whole bunch of people testify that they saw Vanzetti at the time that the crime was supposed to have taken place. They saw Vanzetti in Plymouth selling fish. Sacco was a shoemaker. Vanzetti was a fish peddler. All these people. But these people, their words go right past the jury. They're Italians. They're going to stick together. There's a kid who says the eyewitness testimony is very peculiar. The eyewitness testimony is very difficult to establish, with absolute clarity. Eyewitness testimony is always fraught with mistakes and misapprehensions but still they use him. So they call this kid who says he saw the robbers running away. What could you, they ask him, well, could you see their faces? No. Well, boy, what could you tell about these robbers? I could tell that they were foreigners. How could you tell? By the way they ran. Have you ever seen a foreigner run? They are very funny runners. Yeah. And the judge, this famous statement that the judge made, which anybody who studied, who read anything about the case will hear about this, that the judge, somewhere in the course of all of this going on, says at a Dartmouth football game, I guess there's something about a Dartmouth football game which lets the guard down. And you think, I can say anything I want to at a football game, but no, he couldn't, because he said to another sort of Dartmouth alumnus who was at the football game after he had turned down a motion for a new trial, he said, "Did you see what I did with those anarchist bastards the other day?" This fellow he said this to swore out an affidavit to this effect. So you have to be very careful what you say to people at a football game. And but this is Thayer. This is Webster Thayer. And there's ballistics evidence, very complicated ballistics evidence. I won't go into it, because I can't go into it. That the ballistics argument has been going on for decades, and nobody has come up with any absolutely clear-cut, conclusion about what the ballistic evidence shows. But my point is one thing is sure, whether they're guilty or not, they could not possibly get a fair trial in the atmosphere of the courtroom in 1920, 1921. They could not possibly get a fair trial in the patriotic atmosphere of this courtroom and with this judge and with this jury. And that if Sacco and Vanzetti were convicted, I would argue they're convicted more for who they were than for anything they might possibly have done. And this is the importance of it, because connects with so many other instances of how our justice system works, and something that with just some reflection and some study we know to be true, and that is, it is very, very important in our justice system. Yes, even more important than whether you really did something or did not something, it is very important who you are. It is very important how much money you have. It is very important what color you are. It is very important whether you are an American, and it is very important if you are a political radical. Sacco and Vanzetti had all these things against them. Just as Mumia Abu-Jamal has all these things. And he's black, he's radical, he's poor. Is he going to get a fair trial? It's not even a matter of knowing for sure guilt or innocence. One thing you do know for sure, so long as those factors are dominant, and those factors are dominant in a society which is filled with jingoism and hostility to foreigners and hostility to blacks and hostility to radicals, and so long as the justice system is dominated by money, then the question of whether you actually did this or did not do this, it becomes secondary to these other factors. Webster Thayer is
life, nothing on your back, think about me.
Okay, you've heard the following. Crucifix did another mouth to feed and search for the sun. Before that, two tracks from Howard Zinn's Heroes and Martyrs CD, Are You an Anarchist? And They're Italians, about the case of Sacco and Vanzetti. The Circle Jerks did Question Authority, and Jello Biafra with DOA did Full Metal Jack Off. This is Reverend Bookburn. The show is called The Reverend Is In. Tonight's theme has been Remember September 11th, Forget the Media Hype, Part 1. Next week on September 15th at 9 o'clock Eastern Time, USA, Remember September 11th, Forget the Media Hype, Part 2. And 2 weeks from tonight, not sure yet. But the show will be broadcast at RadioVolta.org, and hopefully without difficulties, and relay broadcast at InfidelGuy.com, relay broadcast live. And then all the parts up until 11 o'clock will be repeat broadcast throughout the week at infidelguy.com. The new Reverend Bookburn webpage is at fullgospelranch.com/RevBookburn, and the last several playlists are there. And message boards, updated links, and now audio archives. And let's play Go to Blazes. DJ Derek is not here yet. If you want to write to me, write RevBookburn@FullGospelRanch.com. If you know whether or not Annie Sprinkle is coming to Philadelphia, please tell me. And if you know whether or not it's true about the rumors of somebody pieing or throwing soft, harmless, biodegradable slop or whatever at the corporate scab dead Kennedys at the rip-off holiday in the Sun Festival, please let me know so we can maybe find these people and reward them. And don't forget, there's rewards for exposing your genitals or mooning or holding porn pictures or erotic art, hopefully very much enlarged, at the members of the XXX Church. Here is Go to Blazes doing Billy Bardo. And this specific track is entitled, Are You an Anarchist?
Yes. All of these, I tell you about these events because all of these events are having an impact on the thinking of the anarchist community and the foreign-born anarchists like